Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hello, friends. This is Dr. Stansberry. We're going to continue on looking at what Abraham and Sarah teach us about the life of faith. Now, you remember last week, we started looking at their story, and I want to go back real quickly and just recover, not completely recover it, because there's no way to do all of that, but to kind of go forward and kind of review the story. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, and again, I'm reading from the New English Translation. These all died in faith without receiving the things promised, but they saw them in a distance and welcomed them and acknowledged them as though... acknowledge that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. For those who speak in such a way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. In fact, if they had been thinking of the land that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they aspire to a better land, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. So, just to kind of quickly recap, Abraham and Sarah both died without receiving the very promise of Messiah and them becoming a great nation that God had promised them. But as we've talked about throughout this series, that faith is believing what God said because of his character and that he's able to keep the promise. Well, just real quickly, they believed in God's word. They saw it as being accurate and able to fulfill the promise. And we told you that every rhema word of God, every right now word of God comes with everything it needs to bring to pass what God has promised. We talked about in Isaiah where he says that his word never returns back to him without doing exactly what he accomplished it to do. The second thing that we looked at where we ended up stopping last week was that what they spoke lined up with what they believed. We talked about that we don't become discouraged. And we talked about that even though our inner self is growing and getting better and better, the outer self is dying. And the idea being that if you focus solely on what you feel, what your senses tell you, that's not the life of faith. The life of faith is, even if I don't see it and I don't understand what's happening at the time, I count the one worthy and able to do what he's promised. So we have to understand that we have to say what we believe. I know a lot of people, when they hear that, believe it's that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and all of the word, that kind of thing. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you go to the BMW dealership and lay hands on the newest BMW and claim it. No. But you receive promises from God. You have to confess, one, that you're a citizen of heaven. To understand what that means, when you become a Christian, the way that you talk even begins to change. You don't talk as a citizen of this world, because it said if they even considered the past, where they came from, they would feel the need to go back to that. If we spend so much of our time thinking about where we are, where we think we should be, what we want to do, what we end up doing is continually looking back. Notice what he says in Isaiah 43. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. You see, as we move forward in revival, and I believe that we're seeing the movements of revival, the stirrings of that last time revival, that's not going to take place in a building but among the people, we cannot say that God has to do it the same way. The reason Pentecost worked the way it did in Acts chapter 2 is you had a group of people, that were not bound by tradition. They couldn't say that God could only do it this way. It was completely uncharted and new territory. When you come forward into the Pentecostal outpouring of the recent times, we get tied up. We want him to do it the same way he did it then. But notice what he says. Behold, in verse 19, I am doing a new thing. God is constantly challenging our presuppositions. The moment we put God into a box that he can only do it this way, God will do something outside of the box. So we can't spend our lives looking where we used to be, or at our citizenship when we were in the kingdom of darkness, But our citizenship focus needs to be on where we are today, that we are in Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells the Philippian church in verse 1 that they are to rejoice that they are in Christ. Rejoice that you are in Christ. When you and I get to the place that we are so secure in our citizenship, that becomes our confession. That becomes what we say, what we believe, and believe what we say. They were so clear in what they believed. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 13. He says this, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do. One thing I do. We live in a world that's all about the multitasking. How many things, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else on multitasking. But he goes, one thing. As a believer, we should focus on the one thing. Notice what he says. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Not looking at what lies behind, but straining to what lies ahead. Our ultimate goal, our ultimate place will be in heaven. Spiritually, you're already there. We are made to sit together in heavenly places. We are there. We are sitting with Christ. But many people are so hung up on what they used to be. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a witch. Fill in the blank of what I used to be. And we can spend the majority of our time focused on what used to be. But as a believer in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creature. And if I'm a new creature, if I'm a new creation, I've never existed before. That means I'm now the righteousness of Christ. That my spirit man has been completely transformed. And if the spirit man has completely been transformed, he is no longer tied to looking back at where he used to live. It takes a while for your mind. That's why Romans 12 and 2 tells us to have the renewing of our mind, to understand that we have to change our confession, our thinking, our desires have to change. That's why he says, look, I'm giving you something new. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 10, Solomon wrote these words, do not say, why were the old days better than these? In this day and age, we're hearing about the way it used to be in church and the way it used to, and church has changed. Some of us are struggling with some of the changes because not change for the sake of change isn't good. I believe when we have praise and worship in church, it should be so easily accessible to the people that they're there. They can join in praise and worship. It should not be worshiptainment. It shouldn't be a concert. It should be we enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. In Psalm 118, we read about that this is the Lord's gate. What is the Lord's gate? Praise. We enter his presence with praise and singing. We come when we come boldly to the throne of grace, we don't walk in quietly. We don't walk in saying, I'm just a worm. Praise God, I am saved. I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have the right according to Scripture and my salvation to come into the throne room. But I come in with thanksgiving. I come in with praise and just be thankful. If we take the time to begin to truly recap all that God has done in your life and in my life, we could really be here all day. But we know in Revelation chapter 19 that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Your testimony will help somebody else get to the place that they can receive a prophecy in Christ. That's a whole other sermon, which we will be talking about in this revival coming up. And they'll make those recordings available to you when they're done. So the next thing that we see about Abraham and Sarah, about not only had they confessed their citizenship, they spoke what they believed, they stayed focused on the one thing, but they kept their eyes on that goal. In Hebrews chapter 12, we haven't gotten there yet, but in verse 2 it says this, looking away from all that will distract, to Jesus who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief. And it is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Now I'm going to stop right there. Our goal, our focus should be on Jesus Christ. Not on man. Our focus should never be on our denomination, on our religion, or our liturgy, on our traditions, but on Jesus Christ. We focus on him. The enemy's number one thing that he does is to get our eyes either to the left or to the right. And as I was studying, on a completely unrelated note, you hear so many people talk about, we need balance, we need balance, we need balance. The problem is the way they put balance. There are two things. You have the leaven of the Pharisees, which is religiosity. You have the religion of the leaven of Herod, which is the politicization and the putting the flesh involved. And there's the balance between those. That's what you want. But what begins to happen, we see in Revelation chapter 3, we have the hot and the cold and then the lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'd rather you be one or the other, but not be lukewarm. We have so many people that they don't want to have that first love. They don't want to be hot for Christ. They're just, they go to church, they do the bare minimum. Their only goal is, I want to go to heaven, and they're just kind of cold. You have the other group that's on fire for God, and they become the lightning rod or the collecting point of everybody's ideas of persecution. And then you have the group in the middle that neither side even worries about because they don't even stand out in the crowd anymore. Jesus would tell one of the churches, you have a name that you're alive, but you're truly dead. We have to get to the point that we're so focused on Jesus, we're not worried about what anybody else says. When you have men, women, when you have a spouse that you're truly in love with, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, that is your spouse. That is the love of your life. You don't worry about if someone goes, I think they're not pretty enough. Well, they're pretty enough for me. I don't think they're smart enough. They're smart enough for me. You see, the idea being that you're so in love that even the imperfections in that person, you overlook them. What Christ is calling us to is to be so in love with Him that we see nobody else. There's nothing to distract us because He is the author and the finisher. He started our faith. He rose from the dead, showing us, one, that you could live the life, that you could be raised with Him. He ascended to the heavens where He became our intercessor. And He's coming back as our King. He did that for us to show us that there we have an example to follow. Then it says He is our finisher. What that truly means is that He's going to bring us to completion and maturity. But we get there through childlike faith, trusting that whatever He says, He's able to do and able to bring to pass. Then He goes on to say, He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated where? At the right hand of God the Father. What you need to understand, through the joy of the cross, when you take communion, it says, and He gave thanks. I don't know if you've ever really realized that He was taking communion. You would have Peter that would deny Him, Judas that would betray Him, and the disciples that would scatter like sheep because of what happened. But yet, because of the joy of you being saved and me being saved, He said, this is My body that is going to be broken, so that the words of Isaiah comes to pass, not that you are healed, but that you were healed. It's paid for in the past. When you get to the place that you realize that He's given you everything that you need, faith becomes a simple exercise of, He said it and I believe it. And I'm going to agree with Him. When we talk about the sharp two-edged sword, one of those is the Logos, that's the written, revealed Word of God. Then there's the Rhema Word that says it's alive and active. That's what, it's the right now Word from God. And when you agree with the Logos, that becomes Rhema. And then that becomes a two-edged sword that will get down to where you live. When you begin to really get into the Word of God and you begin to get so excited about what He's saying, He will give you a right now Word to what you're facing or what you're going to face. And when you get to that place and you're focused on Jesus, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you're not bothered by it because of the joy. Jesus said that He spoke all the things to us in John 14, 15, and 16. Why? That our joy may be full. That He was giving us His peace and His joy. And when we can receive those into ourselves, and that becomes the primary focus of our lives, we will begin to walk in a newness of life like you've never experienced. And can I just tell you that since I have been really studying and trying to flesh this out in my own life, I've seen the hand of God move in ways that I never have seen before. I've seen Him begin to heal. I've seen Him begin to change situations in my life. And I'm going to tell you, if it will work for me, I know it will work for you. I know if God's Word is true for me, as goofy as I've been and the mistakes that I've made, and even falling away from the faith until July 31st of 2017, when I came back home for good and watched Him begin to change. He's done more in my life in just recent years than He did the whole time when I was saved at 9. The idea being that when we get serious in His Word, He will get serious with us. Notice what He says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer, in Him, Christ. They find their fulfillment. They find the answer. They find what you need in Christ. He goes on to say this. To God, so for this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it, to God through Him in His person and by His agency. Notice what He's trying to get across to us. When we agree with what Jesus has already done and what God has already said, then we begin to see this work out in our lives. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. You say, well, how do I know the promises of God? You've got to read the instruction manual. You've got to read the book. We spend so much of our time in a world that is just in a hurry to be somewhere or to be nowhere. And when God has called you, He's called me to do one thing, keep our eyes on Christ. That's where the fulfillment is. When you ask, Jesus said, you don't ask anything in My name, but now ask in My name. What are we asking? What's the will of the Father? What's the will of the Father? It's been revealed. His words. And when we begin to walk in Christ, the Holy Spirit will bring those words to our remembrance. They will bring the teachings that we need to our remembrance. So what do we get from this? Well, one, you need to understand that they understood that the home God prepared for them was their home. This world, and I can't stress this enough, this world is not my home, it's not your home. Now, I may live in a house, and in my house I have my things, and I have my dogs, and I have my beautiful wife, and I've got my children. But that's just a house. My home is in heaven. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. That means He's got a place for you in His home. And He's made the preparation, how? By dying on the cross, going and ripping the veil in two, going to the Father and saying, I'm breaking the seals. I have bought back the creation that you have. When you can grasp that, you'll find that you have life eternal. I wished I was preaching to a live crowd because I'd want somebody to say, can you say amen? Are you glad that you've got a home? We have so many people today that are looking for a place called home. Dorothy would sing about it and click her heels and say, there's no place like home. But I will tell you this, that my home is there. And there are a lot of times that I get very homesick because I know when I get there, I'll be home. We need to also notice that the end of what God has for us is greater than anything that we have here. Do you understand that heaven is going to be beyond anything that you can imagine? But yet we spend our time looking there, but yet Jesus, when He prayed, He said, your kingdom come. He wants you to begin to experience some of that. Now, when I was with a singing group, we sang a song, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be happy. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. But yet sometimes we keep worrying about in the great by and by and the sweet by and by, and when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. And that will be a day of rejoicing. But if you can learn to live rejoicing down here going, but I've got heaven on my mind. There's an old song, an old Mosey Lister song. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, for I knew my Lord had control. When you can get to the place in your life that heaven, because it's my goal, it keeps me happy. And they kept their eyes forward. Many times we allow the enemy to distract us, to keep our eyes off of Jesus Christ. But it said that Abraham and Sarah were looking at the promise. Yes, they laughed. Yes, Abraham blew it multiple times. But at the end of the day, it said because he believed what God said, it was accounted to him righteousness. If you can believe what God has told you about you, you'll find that you are the righteousness of Christ. That when God looks at you, He doesn't see you, He sees Jesus. When you get to the place that you quit looking in the mirror and going, well, I don't see that I'm in the image of God, and begin to realize that the moment your spirit man becomes saved, he snaps into the image of God. It's like an old song I used to sing in church, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. He's working on the inside. He's changing the way I think, renewed mind, Romans 12:2. He's changing the way I speak. He's changing everything to that the, even the outside will begin to conform to the image of Christ, so that when I pick up my glorified body, it will truly match what he's done on the inside. But I've got to keep my eyes on that goal. I can't allow the enemy to come in and steal my joy. The Bible says in John that the thief, Satan, the Nakash, the accuser of the brethren, comes for one reason: to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal everything that God wants to give to you. He wants to kill the joy and the peace in your life. And he wants to destroy your testimony if he can. But let me tell you today, if you'll keep what Abraham and Sarah teach us, is keep going forward looking for that city. And you would say, oh, Dr. Sansbury, I'm not know if I'm ready. Can I just tell you that you can be? You can reach out today and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus is the everlasting Son of God, that he died and rose again, and he is now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And I declare him Lord of my life. I repent of anything in my life, and I claim the blood of Jesus to cover the sins in my life. And if you can make that declaration honestly, that Jesus Christ is Lord, welcome to the family. What you need to do now is get into his word and get a real hunger for him. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your power, your grace, and your glory. And Father God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will reach out and you will touch all that are listening to this podcast through your power. And let them begin to feel and know that they are children of God. And Father, for all that I know that you're doing in and through this podcast, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor forever. Amen. We'll be right back with some closing comments.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.